coming, I'm told. Praise God. And, there it is. Praise Jesus. Yes, it's going to be a beautiful week, and it might be some rain, some sun, but I think next Sunday is supposed to be nice, like warm and for the weekend and so forth. So just be ready for awesome stuff happening. Amen. Praise God for the wonderful missions, things that are going on. We are preaching the gospel around the world, and it's not just happening here. It's happening in other countries and with ministries that we partner with and so forth. And every soul that is saved, every school that is built, every prisoner that is ministered to, everyone that's set free from something, you and me get a part of that. Amen? So it's awesome. Praise God. So just be continuing to intercede and pray over all these things. Something else that we tagged on for our church upcoming is there's a few technical upgrades that we're believing God for. We're going to upgrade to a Mac Mini recording studio system, an external disk drive. Our system is nice, but it's really slow. And so I found something better, so we're just going to be upgrading to that sometime in the next few months. And then a wireless mic and an updated lav mic and so forth. And then a laptop computer. Our system, again, is just really slow. Amen. And so when you're moving quick with the Holy Ghost and doing things for the ministry, and we're a prosperity church, believe in God, we don't want to just keep doing stuff because it still works, you know. Just because it still works doesn't mean you ought to just keep using it. Amen. So we're thankful for what's working, but there are some specific things that God is moving on us to believe for and reach out for and so forth. So it's around $1,800 that we're going to be believing God for. So if God moves on you to sow some of that or anything over the next few months, just amen. Praise God. We're just going to be receiving and talking about those things. But it's just really important to have stuff that works and works well. Amen. And to get the word out that God's giving us to bring. So praise the Lord. Amen. So enough on that. Welcome to the 9 gifts and 9 fruits of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's interesting that the Lord, in that prayer time this morning, I had forgotten that this was the picture that I found on Google Images, but releasing the power of the Holy Ghost in you, and it was that picture of fire. Amen. So don't you know we have a God who is a God of holy fire. Amen. And his fire doesn't destroy things. Except things that need to be destroyed. Amen? And so he is wonderful. He is all-consuming. And I don't know about you, but I just want to be in the fire with him. Amen? In the glory fire I'm talking about. There's the fire that, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got delivered of that was going to kill them. Amen? And there's holy fire. There's God fire. In fact, there's scripture in the Bible that talks about describing God as fire from the loins up. Amen? And so fire is a descriptive word of God. Amen? And we know stories like Moses seeing the burning bush and all these kind of things, but the Holy Ghost is the fire God on the inside of us. Amen? And his word is like kindling, what we throw into the fire and just keep feeding the fire, feeding the flames. Amen? Growing our faith for everything that he's called us to believe for and stand for and so forth. Amen? But our foundation text is going to continue to be Romans 15:13. It just seems like that's kind of our main thrust for the year right now. Amen. And it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope." How? By the power. Somebody say, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't noticed, the world is out there kind of wallowing in hopelessness. Amen? And the church has no business living a life of hopelessness. Amen? And I've heard, you know, some describe, well, how do I witness to the alcoholic unless I'm not in the bar drinking with him? Well, that ain't the way to witness to somebody who's an alcoholic, right? Well, how do I witness to the guy who's doing weed unless I ain't growing some? Well, you might want to get the mind of God on that before, right? Amen? So we get out of the life of hopelessness, and we live a life of hope. Amen? And we abound in that hope by the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. And Brother Copeland prophesied that this would be the year of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? And that fire is to purify us. Amen? To burn junk out of my life that needs to go. Stuff out of my attitude and behavior and conduct and words that just needs to be gone. Amen? Let it. Somebody say, Lord, let it be gone. Just take it out. Amen? And that glory fire would be kindled on the inside of us. The love of God is like a fire that burns brightly on the inside of us. And it shouldn't send people running like in Southern California last year with those wildfires, right? No, this is a fire you run to. Amen. And jump in. Put your whole self in, right? And just be inside that consuming fire of God's love. Amen. But he talked about, Brother Copeland mentioned in that prophetic word for the year, that this is the year of the big 18, the nine gifts and the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm feeling stirred to do over the next 18 Sundays is spend a Sunday on each one. Amen? And let's just look at it. Let's believe God light it up and let him be God and lead us and guide us into these things, into deeper places with God. But Acts chapter 19 is a good place to start with this. And you can flip there or I'm going to read it. Either way, praise God. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And the Word of God says this. I don't know if we prayed over this yet. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we invite you to be here today. We thank you that you are here. We thank you for the wonderful words and things that you've already shared with us today and the mighty works that you're doing, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Acts 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. You'll notice that Paul had a way of finding some disciples. Amen. You know, so there were people out there that wanted to kill Paul, wanted to take Paul out, right? Some people that hated Paul, right? And Paul, what did he do? He went in town and found him some disciples, found him a posse, right? Amen. And he said, disciples of who, by the way, are we talking about? Disciples of Jesus, amen. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Amen. So he found him some believers in Jesus, some people that have been baptized maybe in water and had received Jesus as Lord of their life, but they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Paul just had a sensitivity to God in that there was something lacking in these people's faith, right? Amen? And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism, which praise God for John's baptism. Amen? The baptism of repentance and breaking sin's power and all these things, right? And Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, verse 4, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So apparently they hadn't even been baptized by this scripture, right? So they got baptized in water right there. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah, right? Now the men were about 12 in all, in verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. I love Paul. Paul was never in a hurry, right? There's another story in Acts where he preached so long that a kid fell out of the third story window and died on the ground. And of course, with Paul there, he went and laid hands on him, and what happened? He came back to life. Amen? And Paul probably reminded him, don't fall asleep while I'm preaching. Amen. But don't you know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. We're not going to have schedules like this. Amen? What is, you know what? Let's hang around for about three month earthly days and hang out for about 3 months and just study this scripture or whatever. Amen? It's going to be wonderful, right? And we'll get to hear from people like Paul and Peter and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, whoever, right? Isn't that going to be great? Amen? And we won't be in a hurry because I got to go to work or it's time for lunch or whatever, right? They just feed you right there and hang out and enjoy each other's company and praise the Lord, right? Amen. And verse 9, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Hallelujah, right? So Paul, he just abided, and he was faithful, and he taught the people. Amen. And those people had an experience, right? They got saved, they got baptized in water, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's important to distinguish three experiences. They got saved, they got baptized in water, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so Paul is asking these people, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And apparently they hadn't even been baptized in water, which we know. Just here's another chapter in the Bible that shows us that just because they weren't baptized in water didn't mean they weren't saved. Amen? So there was more to learn. There was more to learn. And don't you know, wherever we are, no matter how long we've been walking with God, there's something more to learn. Amen. And I enjoyed our time, our youth meeting on Wednesday night when Eric and Sarah opened their home and we were sharing some things about Israel with the kids and building your faith. And Shelley was talking about David and Goliath. And Sarah, being an archaeologist, brought out a book and started showing us pictures of Israel and how this is what King Saul's palace probably looked like. And here's some diggings and things that they found. And it's like, whoa, man, there's more to learn here. Amen. And, you know, you look at archaeology like that. And in America, stuff's old when it's, what, 300-400. And over there, it's like 3,000-4,000 years old. Amen. Don't you know, with God, there's always something more for us to be learning and digging into the Word and never have the attitude that we know it all. And Paul, it says here, he abided for 2 years in this area, teaching these people, imparting things to them. Amen. And so somebody say, I got to have my learning ears on with God at all times, right? Because there's something more. There's more experiences with God. There's more things he wants to show us. Deeper places to go, no matter where we are. Hallelujah. I remember, I think it was Terry Seville Foy, Pastor Brother Jerry Seville's daughter. And she mentioned that when she graduated from college, one of the first things she had to realize was not to stop learning. She said, you know what? When I graduated, I just thought I was done. I'm tired of learning. And she said the Lord got on her and said, no, you have to stay hungry, stay learning. Amen. So even if we're saved and born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, been baptized in water, go to church every Sunday, we got to stay hungry. Stay hungry because God's got more. Amen. But this key verse here, verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The Holy Spirit has to be received. And how do we receive him? We receive him the same way we got saved. How'd you get saved? You got saved by faith, right? You came to Jesus and you said, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive my forgiveness and so forth. The same way you receive healing. How do you receive healing? By faith. You say, Lord, your word says this and I believe it and I receive my healing. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We receive him by faith. You say, Lord, I see this in your word. I receive your Holy Spirit right now in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one, the Word of God says, that came to baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? No, you know, the Holy Ghost brings the fire. Hallelujah. I love watching baseball, and there's some pitchers out there that just have the fire. I remember watching Mariano Rivera back several years ago. We went on his farewell tour, and he was his last year playing for the Yankees, and we went to Seattle and saw him. And I got the blessing of standing right in the bullpen, like from me to mom, and he's warming up. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And the bullpen happens to be next to kind of a, back in the bullpen area and under the where the seating is, of course, they put a bar right there. So everybody's walking around and, you know, got their drinks. And Rivera comes out, and there's probably 400 Yankee fans right there. And I planned it, so I got right up in the front, and I got to this, I mean, just me to him. And people have, when he got out there, started warming up, there's guys putting this, like laying their phones on my head and taking pictures. Amen. Oh, it was a wonderful thing to get to see that. But you know what? When he got to the mound, there was something different. There was something different because I hadn't seen him pitch live before, and I was watching him warm up, and the coach is talking with him and all these things. But when he went out to the mound in that ninth inning, and I went back to my seat because I wanted to, we had pretty good seats too. In fact, it was a Father's Day weekend, I think, a few years ago. But man, there was some extra fire when he got to the mound. It was like strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. And it was like, wow. Mariano Rivera, and they called him Mo, right? And don't you know when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, there is something extra that comes. There's an extra kick. There's extra fire. Amen. There's extra intensity that comes on a church, on a people, on a person, where the Holy Ghost is around. Amen. There's a passion that comes on the church when the Holy Ghost is there and welcome. Amen. Somebody say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Do your thing. Do your thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's an intensity. There's a passion. You know, there's an excellence. There's a love that goes beyond what you could produce on your own or just in a religious, you know, situation. Amen. And that's what Paul noticed probably when he hung out with these guys. You know what? There's something missing here. Now, praise God, you're born again, but let's start going through the checklist. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they were honest. You know what? We didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? Well, they baptized him in water, got him filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he spent about 2 years teaching. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Never underestimate the value and the importance of being in church, of listening to preaching, listening to good Bible teaching, because that you know, it's like Shelley was sharing that story about the prophet that came to the king and said, "Strike the ground." Remember that story a couple of weeks ago, and he took arrows and he struck the ground three times and then he quit. And the prophet said, "You should have struck the ground five or six times. For now, you're going to have victory for about 3 years over your enemies, and then they're taken over." What did he lack? Intensity. He did what he did out of religion and ritual, right? The Holy Ghost brings the intensity of God, right? I'm not comfortable living a sinful life, but baptizing the Holy Ghost, right? The two don't go together, right? I'm not comfortable talking certain ways and voting certain ways and, you know what I'm saying? And just living certain ways when the Holy Ghost is around. Amen. He stays on you and in you. He's like a coach. Ever seen the Rocky movies, right? Where Mick is in there. Rocky, come on, Rocky. Get back up, Rocky. Get back in there, Rocky. Catch the chicken, Rocky. You ever fight a dinosaur, Rock? what does he do? He keeps you motivated, right? Keeps you on fire. Keeps you in love with Jesus. Brings passion and purpose into our lives. Hallelujah. But he needs to be received. Right? He's not going to force his way into your life. He has to be welcomed. He's a gentleman. Amen. Somebody say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Receive means to take, to get hold of, to have offered to one. Paul was saying, hey, have you guys ever had the Holy Spirit offered to you? No. Well, here you go, right? To accept, he has to be accepted. Amen. Praise the Lord. And believe, and it says, since you believed, right? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Believe means to have faith, to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. So there's the prerequisite. One prerequisite to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being saved. basically. Nobody who's not born again could have the Holy Spirit. They could have other spirits, certainly, right? But that's why it's important to make sure before someone receives the Holy Spirit, are you born again? No. Well, then let's get born again first. And I've heard stories where people simultaneously get saved at the altar and get filled with the Holy Ghost in the same. It's amazing what God can do, right? But that's the only prerequisite. Have faith, get saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is good, right? But we're going to talk about the big 18. Somebody say the big 18, right? The fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise God, right? And the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7 through 10, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. And we'll spend time, as far as I know, on each one of those in weeks to come. Amen. But today we want to talk about that first one, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody say love. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Amen. So when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, expect to become a more loving person. Amen. Love, as it defines here in the Word, is affection. Amen. Benevolence, which means a desire to do good to others, acts of kindness, amen. Charity, generous actions or donations. So you're going to become more generous, right? More benevolent, more affectionate. These are good things, amen. Because why? Because this is a fruit of the Spirit. Now it's important to remember that it's not saying this is a fruit of Steve or a fruit of you. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if he's on the inside of you, it's not like you have to conjure this up and make yourself be this. That's where we have to correct ourselves in the body of Christ, right? I can't make myself holy, right? I can't make myself righteous. I can't make myself a loving person, right? These are fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Fruits of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So if he's on the inside of you, then they start coming out of you. Hallelujah, right? So a couple things that I want to read here regarding this. Let's start in 1 Corinthians 13. Spend a few minutes on this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And there are many, 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 many good places in the Word of God to go and study on the love of God. Before I even read that, I want to read to you a brief thing out of my Faith to Faith devotional. It was actually today's, so I thought, that's perfect, right? And this is from Brother Kenneth Copeland, and it's titled, Develop the Love. And the verse that he's going from is the Amplified Translation of 2 John, verse 6. And what this love consists in this, and what this love consists in is this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commandments, his orders, ordinances, precepts, teaching. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it, and following it. Somebody say amen, right? And Brother Copeland says this, quite simply, God says love is keeping his commandments. That brings love out of the indefinite into something explicit. But God has done more than define love for you. He's given you instructions so that you can know how to love as he loves. By giving you his word, God has given you his love manual in black and white. All you have to do is follow it, and you'll be walking in love. If you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you've already taken the first step of obedience. The love of God has been born within you. But unless you take steps to develop it, that love will remain hidden within you. Love works in much the same way as the force of faith. Like faith, love becomes active through knowledge of the Word. Become love conscious by confessing and acting on God's Word today. As you meditate these scriptures, you'll see yourself living the love life. See yourself walking in accordance with and guided by the commandments of Jesus. Develop the love He has hidden in you. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, reading that scripture we just read in Acts, Paul hung around these guys for a while, right? And what was he doing? They were being developed in that power of God, right? Being developed in the love of God. Praise the Lord. And that's the same thing we're doing, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Amen. So this is a good description of godly love. It's really a picture of God's love for us. Amen. And what we ought to be becoming more and more like. And it's the greatest thing. Amen. Love is the greatest thing. And don't you know, we live in a society right now where there is a lot of venom and discord and division and strife and hatred, and they can say all they want, no hate, no hate, but guess what there is? There is hate. Amen? There are venomous words going out there against leaders that people got no business saying and so forth, call it freedom of speech or whatever, but it's really just spewing forth venom, right? And as believers, we need to be people that live above that, right? That don't get into that. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. People that respect our president, respect the office of the president, whether you voted for him or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. I personally did. Praise the Lord. And there were a number of reasons why that have to do with the Word of God and stances on issues that the Word of God is very plain about. Praise God for a country where we have the right to vote. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I was listening to Herschel Walker in an interview. He's an athlete. He was a professional football player back in the 80s, and I think it was the 80s mainly. And just a man in great physical shape. He must be in his late 50s now. And he still does like 1,500 push-ups and 500 sit-ups every day. And he's like, and I think he said he's even done some sport fighting, right? And they were interviewing him on this talk radio show, and he was really, really cool. You know, you just get, hearing all kind of one voice about the president and all these kind of things that are going on. But his take was like, you know what? This is our system, guys. He's like, if you don't like the man, then vote him out next time. It's like, why sit there and complain? It's like, But he really seemed to have some good, Christian values, and especially with him being a black man, it's got to bring pressure for a black man to have conservative values right now, quite frankly, right? And because you will be considered a hater then, right, in a lot of ways. But you know what? If no matter what the color of the man's skin or the woman's skin, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're my brother, you're my sister. If he's not Lord of your life, you're not my brother or my sister. Even if you're whiter than me, which would be harder to be. Amen. Right? But we still walk in love toward people. We don't get off into judging and condemning and, you know, getting into the firefight of venomous words and all this kind of stuff, right? We stay in the love of God. We walk in his love. We stay in his love. We pray for people, but we stay constant. I remember hearing a really dear woman share a testimony, and she had been delivered and set free from a lesbian lifestyle, homosexuality, right? And she said, you know what people need that are coming out of this lifestyle is compassion without compromise. Amen. What's that sound like? That sounds like love. Amen. Yeah, we love you, but this is what the Word of God says, and this is how we need to live. Amen. And if God says that this is right and that's wrong, then there needs to be changes. Right? And with me, the changes start with me. Amen, right? So these are just wonderful things to remember. Walk in patience with people at work or at school or whatever. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And that love, what the Word of God to say? Love never fails. Love never fails. Amen. So I can be nice to you and kind to you and yet not agree with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the results, the fruit, well, that's what we're talking about. The fruit will speak for itself. Amen. And so we just allow God. We don't need to be to defend God, right? He does a good job of that himself, right? We just need to live for him and love him and serve him. Amen. But especially in these times, kindness, doing good, no matter what the person's viewpoint. And that brings us to this final one here we're going to read in Luke 10. Luke 10, famously known as the story of, you'll pick up on it. Amen. Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Jesus is speaking. Now, if Jesus is speaking, what should I be doing? Listening. Amen. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What's written in the law? What's your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Amen, right? But he, wanting to justify himself, the lawyer, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Amen. So here we go, right? I'm so thankful that people, even if their hearts were a little amiss, I'm so thankful that they asked these questions of Jesus, right? Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now here's a guy who's supposed to be in the business of loving people, right? And caring for people, but he was too busy, right? He had something to do, didn't have the time to deal with that, didn't want to get emotionally connected, whatever. Didn't want to get germs, whatever, right? Amen? Maybe the guy looked like he was poor, whatever, right? So no cameras were around. So he just passed on by, right? Amen. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Another person that's supposed to be in the ministry, right? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, you got to understand, Samaritans and Jews do not mix in the natural. There are big-time political differences between the Jews look at Samaritans as half-breeds, as not good enough, don't measure up, outcasts, kind of like the stepchild of the Jewish family, whatever you want to say, right? In fact, there was one thing I read last night said that a lot of the traditional Jews look at Samaritans as worse than a Gentile. So Jesus was not pulling punches. He was, you want to talk about who your neighbor is? All right. Okay? Samaritan. And he chose to make the Samaritan the guy that was going to help you. Amen, right? So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Notice he didn't say the Samaritan. He said, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Amen. So we got to be choosing to walk in this love, choosing to yield ourselves to the fruit of the love of God. Amen. And we can't put a cap on who God can and can't help through us. Right? If that person believes everything that we don't believe, living an anti-word lifestyle, whatever they're, but they need some help, and the Lord brought them across our path, we ought not be in the habit of crossing on the other side. Amen? Or avoiding it. Right? It's a chance for them to experience the love of the real God. Amen? It may not profit you in the least to help that person. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. Amen? The Lord brought about an opportunity for us the other day. We were at our public school. And I know a lot of these teachers in the public schools downright despise things that we believe. Not all of them, but many do. Right? Amen. The union and all these things, anti things of the Word of God, pro things of, you know, that we would call liberal and all this kind of stuff that are just not Bible-believing things, right? And after this event, one of our kids was asked by the principal or somebody to help clean up. Well, our whole family got involved cleaning up. And except one other kid, we were the only people that stayed to help clean up. And we didn't get much of a thank you or anything, but it was like, you know, praise God. We did this for the Lord and for the school, and we had a chance to minister to people that do not, maybe if they knew who we were, wouldn't maybe like us. So what? So what? To them, I might be a Samaritan to them. Oh, you narrow-minded, egotistical hater. Well, how about, let me just move these chairs for you. And hey, you want them here? How do you want them? Anything else I can do? Right? No. What are you doing? And the opportunities like that, we're showing practically the love of God for people. Amen. Glory to God. And don't you know, God has a way of getting through to people where we can't. Right? He has a way of getting to people's hearts and revealing himself to them supernaturally in ways that you and I would never even have thought of. Amen? There was one teacher I remember several years ago who was blatantly, blatantly atheist. Right? He would tell the kids, when we do the Pledge of Allegiance, I do not say the words under God because I don't believe in him. Teaching second graders. Now, as a Christian father, you want to go in there and have some words, right? Hey, what are you doing? But the Lord said, no, just Your kids are strong enough in their faith to recognize that. And pray for the guy. Amen. And do you know, by the time they went through the school, this guy was talking about listening to Christian radio and listening to Christian music. Amen. Very openly complimentary about our kids. You just don't know. You just don't know. But God knows. Amen. And the love of God, we got to get it. We got to get past this taking offense at everything. Right? If our faith is violated and questioned and the word of God is on trial, we get all, ugh. No. We got to back off and just allow God to be himself. And we walk in love with him ourselves and towards him and towards people. Amen. And he is going to do wonderful, amazing, awesome things. But we got to be in this. Remember this year, the Lord told us this year, we're in this for the long haul. Amen. If you'll notice, Paul spent 2 years around these people. Right? Amen. Now there are today miracles. There are breakthroughs that happened today. But it may be because somebody stood for months before today. Or for years in some cases. Amen. So the miracles that are happening are going to happen in our city and in our communities. It may take some time. But it's going to be about you and I choosing to walk in this kind of love today. Today. Somebody say, I'll do it today. Amen. And just guarding our hearts against taking offenses, getting mad at people. I'm talking to myself as well, right? I have to limit the radio that I listen to and the sports talk and all these kind of things because you start getting angry at people's just defiant anti-God attitudes, right? So what do? We release that, we forgive, and we walk in the love. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lindsay, would you go ahead and play the piano while we pray? Amen. You do that so well. So many things you do so well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We accept him. We accept him, Lord, today. Holy Spirit, we accept you. We say welcome. Come into our hearts and lives and just transform everything, Lord. And Lord, we choose today to walk in this great love that you're speaking of, to allow you to live through us every day, even at home, Lord, amongst one another, our spouses and families and kids and friends and coworkers, Lord. We choose to walk in that love, to not be edgy, to not be impatient, Lord God, to be kind towards one another, to be quiet when we need to be quiet and say something when something needs to be said and do something when something needs to be done, Lord, that we would be sensitive to that fruit of love on the inside of us, God. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for these things. Somebody say, Lord, fill me with that love today. To overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming, y'all. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.